Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can become a member now of the FatherStay.tv by on our YouTube channel there and also on Locals. It's an amazing way to support us. Thank you so much. And don't forget to get Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee. What a mess. Get Punchy's Coffee, JesseLeePeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. All right. I have with me today Frank Stallone. He's a Grammy and Golden Globe nominated actor, singer, and musician. Amazing. Thank you for coming on, Frank.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Jesse.
It.
I watch you all the time.
You do?
I do.
Really?
Yes, I do all the time. I love how you kind of give the questions and don't get the answers. Like, guys say, well, why do you do that? Well, you know, I don't know. No, I don't know unless you tell me. That's like how people talk. They'll say something, go, you know what I'm saying? I go, not really.
Right.
Do you know what you're saying?
That's right. Amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, I appreciate you watching the show.
Thank you, Jesse.
So you are the brother to Sylvester Stallone,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm his younger brother.
You're the younger brother?
Yes.
How much older is he of you?
4 years.
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you guys were growing up, did you fight with him?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he was at that age when I was 10, he was 14, so they were hanging out with the teenagers.
Right.
And we were like Leave It to Beaver. We were like the kids are getting in mischief, you know, but not nothing bad.
Right.
Yeah, so we didn't come from basically an artistic background. My father was a hairdresser.
You wow.
know, yeah, Italian immigrant from the old country, legally. And, yeah, everyone was a barber or hairdresser. So it wasn't like we grew up, like, in the artsy-fartsy world where we went to Juilliard and stuff. We just, maybe just God blessed us with natural talent, and we just worked upon it. I mean, I started singing at 6.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did you get into singing and actor?
Well, I just started singing. I was always singing around the house, and people seemed to enjoy it. And then when I turned 15, I turned professional. You know, I had a rock band and stuff like that, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a long time, man. You know, and my brother, I mean, he wasn't the guy, you know, that was the young, serious actor in school and stuff like
right.
that. He just, you know, some people just maybe have a natural gift that I think is a divine intervention. It just comes, doesn't come out of nowhere.
So is this the two of you? Do you have other brothers and sisters?
I have an older half-brother who passed away. I have Sylvester, myself, and I have a brother. I had two sisters, one who passed away, and I have a younger brother. My father decided to have a child with his wife when he was 77.
Nice.
So I got a brother in his 20s, and my older brother would have been 82. So that's a big
right
gap.
Yeah. So like Sarah and Abraham.
Exactly. Yeah.
And hey. So how did you, so hey. Like, did your whole family, I mean, your other brothers and sisters, did they get into entertainment
no,
too?
No, not at all.
Just the two of you?
My oldest brother was a career military guy, then went into the legal faction. Nothing remotely close to artists.
So did Sylvester have any influence on you becoming an actor or singer?
Well, no. If people see my documentary on Amazon called Stallone Frank, that is, he says in the show, he goes, Frank was the first guy with the talent doing stuff.
Oh, okay.
He goes, I followed him. He goes,
nice.
I was the guy, like, because he was kind of always getting in trouble. My mother said, I can't wait till you get famous so you can help your brother out. Boy, those tables turn.
Amazing.
I'll tell you, yeah.
Are you surprised, now that you look back on it, are you surprised how well you've done?
I'm grateful. I practice gratitude, what I have. Of course, you always want to be maybe the bigger rock star, the this and that, but that comes with a lot of extra baggage, too, you know? But
right.
I'm grateful for what I have, that I'm able to do what I want to do, and I'm healthy and stuff like that. And I know a lot of people that were tremendously successful, but fell to the ravages of drugs and alcohol and all that bad stuff, and now they don't have anything.
And so have you traveled around the world?
Oh, yeah, many times.
And what's your impression of the world?
Well, here's an old saying. I said, when you leave the U.S., you're camping out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, people just don't realize how fortunate we are to live in this country. I mean, you see, like, I have friends of mine, Armenian friends and Lebanese friends, and Iranian kids that were kind of raised here. And what's the sad thing is they're actually more patriotic than people that were, like, born here.
Right.
You know, they're so grateful to be in this country, and they're hard workers and stuff like that. But, I mean, I've been to China, I've been to, you know, Jordan, I've played in Italy, all over the place. It's okay. But when you come back here, man, you go, all right.
If you had to, God forbid, and you had to choose another place to live, you had to leave America, what would you choose?
Honest to God, either, I tell you, I love Canada. I mean, it's a little different now. I mean, I did a lot of movies up in Canada. They're very civil people up there. They're pretty nice and pretty easygoing, you know, like in just outside Toronto. I did a few movies in Calgary and Toronto. I don't think I could live in Italy or France or Germany or maybe Nova Scotia or maybe Greenland. I just want to be around a peaceful vibe, you know.
Right.
But no, a lot of people go, "Oh, I'd live in France." I go, "I wouldn't."
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's important to you?
Peace of mind. You know, faith. You know, gratitude. You know, I think things like that kind of carry you over, because, as you know, there's people out there that are billionaires and they're just miserable because right. they think that when maybe they had problems to begin with, but they thought when they made all the money that would their problems
right.
would end.
Absolutely.
But actually, that's when their problems begin, because now they think everyone's after them for their money.
Right.
I think, you know, I've seen people, you know, growing up, didn't have a pot to pee in, but were really happy. You know, generally just happy. You know, my girlfriend's from the Midwest out in Kansas. She's a farm girl. Everyone out there is, like, really nice, very helpful, you know, really nice people.
Amazing. And is it difficult having a girlfriend at your age?
Well, I think it's difficult to have anything at my age. I mean, you need to be alive at my age. No, actually, it's actually more comfortable. She's just a wonderful person and a very giving person, hardworking, very successful in what she does. But low-key, yeah, I think, you know, I have friends of mine that have gone through. I've never been married myself, but I've had friends of mine that have gone through 4 marriages.
All right.
And they got nothing. And it's terrible. I mean, on top of losing probably a lot of their finances or whatever they made, the discord with the kids and stuff like that, right. It just causes a lot of problems.
Amazing. Yeah. Does she obey you?
Obey me?
Yeah.
No, she's got her own mind. No, she's smart, but she's very kind. No, she's just a very decent person. You know.
But she doesn't obey.
Oh, she obeyed. That's a wrong word. I don't know. Obey. We just get along. Kind of, you know, get along good. She's not like some of the people I've seen out here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But she doesn't obey.
She doesn't, or does?
Does she obey?
I don't know what that means.
Don't know what it means to obey?
Do you mean, do I, like, give her orders?
No. Does she obey you?
No, I think she loves me. I don't know.
You do?
Yeah.
Then she must obey then.
I guess, if that's how you interpret it. I mean, it'd be tough if I went on TV and go, "Hey, my girlfriend obeys me." All right, get that. No, it's not like that at all.
No?
No. Just easy going.
And so how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
Never comes out. Very.
Her hell never comes out?
Not very spiritual, very kind. Very,
really?
Yeah. No.
She must be from the old school.
From old school.
Right on.
Yeah. Decent.
That's why.
Yeah. Decent practices, gratitude all the time.
Right on, man.
You know, the thing is, I've had girlfriends before. It's very difficult to be in this business and somehow be grounded. I think it comes from, you know, like we see these bodybuilders, but at one time they were either really fat kids or skinny kids. So it's all an inflation.
Right.
You know, like walking around like this, like, you know. You know, I think, Jesse, it comes from within, you know.
It does.
I think kindness and goodness comes from within.
And being an entertainer, didn't you ever have a big ego?
Well, I think you have to have a certain ego. My ego was more based on wanting to be good. You know, like going on stage, like I always work really hard.
People be good at what you were doing.
Get good at what I'm doing. Right. And I think you have to have some kind of an ego for that. I think,
right.
You know, but I think it's a good ego. I think there's a healthy ego and there's an unhealthy ego. Like, in other words, you and like your ego exceeds your talent level. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's not a good one. But
so like when you would be out and if people didn't recognize you, how would you feel about that?
Nah, I think maybe when I was younger, a little bit. But no, actually, as I'm getting older, it's kind of nice when you get recognized once in a while. Not like I don't think I could have dealt with what my brother went through, like right. When Rocky came out. It was madness. I mean, can you imagine like the Beatles, Elvis? There's everyone in the world knows who you are.
Right.
There's not a place in the world you can go right. Where they go, hey, that's this. Hey. But he told me, he goes, no one calls him Rocky and Rambo anymore because the Tulsa King is such a big hit. They call him Dwight. I go, that's weird. That's the name he has the thing. He says, because, you know, streaming on TV now is actually bigger than movies.
Yeah.
You know, 25 million people could see you a week on a hit streaming show like Yellowstone or Tulsa King. In your whole career, 25 million people would never see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like movie theaters.
So when you and your brother, excuse me, would be out and everybody notices him.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hi to you.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's like, it's
go,
okay.
Like, what the?
Yeah, man, what's going on here? And some pipe, I swear to God, I've had some people come up to my brother and he's told me to go, you're Frank's brother, aren't you? And he gets like all like what? Yeah. But he's 78 years old. He's pretty comfortable with it. I mean, he's been famous for like 50
right.
years. But he was never a hider. He wasn't one of these guys that wear like a hood with sunglasses and a baseball hat. He just goes out. He doesn't like to sit in a special room in the restaurant. He's a people watcher like I am.
It's amazing how much you look like him.
Little bit.
Yeah, I definitely see you guys look alike.
Yeah, we definitely look more alike than anyone else in the family.
Yeah, any regrets?
Well, I think I had regrets, Jesse, because I think I was too trusting and naive when I was coming up, when I should have just cut bait, you know, with some managers I had, you know, because they were like friends. I said, you know, friendship really has nothing to do with this. You're still my friend. But as far as the business end, you're inept.
Yeah.
And, you know, like with agents. I mean, after a while, if it goes months and months and you don't hear from your agent, you should get the message. They're not that interested. It's like you call a girl up and she goes, well, give me a call. It's like that movie Swingers and you keep calling, but she never calls you back.
Yeah.
That's a message.
Right.
Because if someone's
that's
interested.
That's a sign.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
It's like to see you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a few things that irritate me, like, you know, people hanging you up, maybe not returning your phone calls, or like you have an appointment, they show up an hour late. That's disrespectful. I would never do that. Matter of fact, I was here early. I'm always early.
Right on.
My brother's
always
early.
You're from the old school, that's why.
Yes, because I find it a sense of disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, like Frank Sinatra, I remember I had dinner with him a few times. He said, when you're on time, you're late. He was always early. And his theory was, I'm Frank Sinatra. If I'm here early, what's your problem? What's your excuse?
Yeah.
If I can be here early, you know, I got a million things going on. What's your thing? And he would never talk to you again. Like if you stood him up or showed up like 20 minutes late, you're done. Out.
And so when you are not getting attention or not in a movie or not singing,
just on the street,
all alone in a room by yourself, do you feel empty, like something is missing?
When I do or don't get attention.
When you're not getting attention,
well,
you're home by yourself, you're not singing anywhere, you're not performing, nobody's around but you.
No,
does it feel like something is missing?
No, because you know what, Jesse? I have so many hobbies. I'm one of the most renowned boxing historians in the world. So I have a major collection of boxing going back from the 1880s. Like fight-worn gloves, posters, rare photos. And so I have a group of people, you know, it's like people that would collect baseball cards or stamps,
right.
You know. And, you know, if people call on me sometimes to ask my opinion on an upcoming fight or fighters of the past, you know, they always ask me, is Muhammad Ali the greatest? I said, no, he's the greatest heavyweight. He's not the greatest fighter.
Right.
The greatest fighter to me would probably be Harry Greb and Sugar Ray Robinson.
Nice.
His greatest fighter. But do I think Ali's the greatest heavyweight? Absolutely.
Do you get lonely?
I think everyone gets lonely, but I think if you have hobbies, like I'm a competitive trap shooter. I shoot, you know, like sporting clays and trap. So I try to get out of the house. I mean, I have a tendency, if I get like watching one of these like, you know, series like Bosch or, you know, Mobland, I can couch potato out there and watch the whole series, like 4 years of shows, you know. So I have to motivate myself.
So do you get lonely?
Yes.
You get lonely.
I think everyone gets lonely. I think.
But how about you?
I do.
You do?
At times. You get melancholy. Like you think about, you know, when you start thinking about as, you know, I'm coming on 75, you're kind of rounding the bend. It's not like when you're 30, you go, well, you know, I probably got 50 years to mess up or do well. Now I'm going, man, the clock is ticking, Jack. You know, so I think the loneliness is sometimes all my best friends are dead. You know, people that when I would drive to Vegas to do a concert, you know, the type of people you stay on the phone with for 2 hours, just talking about stuff no one else would understand. And that sometimes is it, you know.
What does loneliness feel like?
I think loneliness feels like, I think in a way, maybe not disconnected, but I think there's a melancholy with loneliness. I don't think it's bad. I actually like being alone. I mean, I have a lot of things, you know, I'm a voracious reader, so I don't mind. I can sit out on the porch and read a book and have a cup of coffee, and I'm fine.
Right. Do you have perfect peace?
Boy, that's a tough one. Perfect peace. Boy, I don't know, but I would like to have it. You know, they asked me one time, if you could be the richest man in the world or the happiest man in the world.
Right.
I said, I would take the happiest man in the world because that equals you are the richest person in the world.
Right.
Because people will look at you and go, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like how they look at some of these religious leaders that were very clear. And I think everyone strives for, you know, companionship, love, recognition. Not recognition like ego, but like job well done. You know, whether you're a classical musician or an athlete, there's something about like, okay, this is my passion, and people think I really did a good job.
Right. Do you believe it's possible to have perfect peace?
Boy, you know, Jesse, maybe I think everyone would have a different kind of perfect peace. But I think what's missing in today's world, and I don't want to sound like my parents, is faith. You know, I mean, you know, people mock the church. We had a meeting last year with the Pope. Pope Francis, my brother, myself, and the family in the Vatican, private little thing.
Nice.
And I looked at it, I said, you know, being a Catholic kid, you know, going to certain Catholic schools and stuff, this is big. This is one of the religious leaders of the world. And, of course, there were people on Instagram, oh, he's this. I said, don't bring that stuff onto my site. Do not, well, he's a fascist. I said, don't do that, man. You don't know where you're going to go after you die. You don't mess with the Pope. Now, you know what I mean? You know, we have an idea, but I'm going to hedge my bets. You know what I mean?
And so do you believe it possible to have perfect peace?
Yes, I think there is.
So why don't you have it?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it, Jesse.
But how are you working on it?
Well, I think the idea of being happy with what you have, because so many people have nothing. So many people are terminally ill. They're living, you know, hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, and for what I have, for what I've done, I'm pretty grateful. I mean, it could be a lot worse. You know, I don't have to be the richest guy in the block.
Right.
I don't have to have the fanciest car on the street. So I think that's could be a form of peace. You know, and I think that's what the president's trying to find is peace in these countries. What's going to happen if India and Pakistan, you're both annihilate each other? There'll be nothing left.
Right.
And I think he's trying to get in on that.
So I want to get into that, too. But let me ask, you a Christian?
Yes, Catholic, yeah. I'm
Catholic. Oh, you're Catholic?
Yes.
But not a Christian?
Well, I guess a Christian, yeah. I believe in Jesus Christ.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how do you know you believe in God?
How do I know I believe in God? Because I don't think things just happen. There's too many miracles. There's too many things that are just, you know, I believe that there's a spirit world. I believe, I feel it sometimes. I mean, I'm not a medium, but I believe there are certain things that are miracles. I think our body is a miracle, our brain, how everything works. I think things that these animals and stuff, it just didn't come out of a Cracker Box, you know what I mean? You know, and that's why I believe in it. And sometimes it's really funny when I go, like when I take my walks, church around my corner, the door is always open. If I'm taking my walk, I always pop in. I just pop in, get into a pew and, you know, say my Our Fathers and then just say prayers for my family and for people that have gone by and thanking God for keeping me healthy, and I'm not, you know, I don't have some tragic or horrible disease and things like that. So, but sometimes when you're doing it, you figure, you know, you think it like the walls are going to tremble, you know, and then sometimes you feel, maybe am I sincere? I mean, I mean it, but you know, you see some people in church, they're hysterical. I mean, you know, right. They're just, you know, jumping up and down like Carried holy on. Rollers. And I don't know if they believe it.
All for the thrill of it.
Yeah.
So how do you know you believe in God?
Because I believe I've been blessed.
Yeah,
I believe I've been blessed. I didn't take any voice lessons. And I can write a song out of nowhere. And I believe it was a gift. I believe it was a gift. And what do you do with that gift? You know, it's funny, like you see prisoners that were just, they never had a shot growing up. I mean, just out of the box. They didn't have anything, no love, nothing like this. And they get in trouble and go to prison. And then sometimes, because of solitude or what we call loneliness,
right.
All this creative stuff comes out that they never, that was never like given a chance to bloom. You see some guys that are great writers, great artists, because all they have is time.
Right.
And they and you know, still having the time to thinking about ripping people off in the street or surviving and, you know, just that, they discovered something that was always there but was never, you know, pollinated.
So if you believe in God now, why don't you already have perfect peace?
You know, I don't know if we, Jesse, I don't know if we ever have perfect peace or we maybe just have peace enough for us. You know, maybe that's the perfect peace. It's like, what is true love? Everyone has a different barometer for it, you know? You know, I know kids, guys I went to school with, from 18 they were married, and then from on they got divorced. Or guys that never were without a girlfriend. They went from one girlfriend to the next. And I said, man, why you just kick back and like
relax,
man.
So,
take it in.
Do you believe it possible to have perfect peace right now? I believe in God.
Yes, I think so.
So why don't you have it?
I don't know. I'm working on it. You know, I had a very troubled childhood, so you know, I'm working on it. You know, I didn't. You know, we had a very tumultuous upbringing. My mother's married 5 times. My father 4 times. Yeah. And you know,
what a mess.
Yeah, my mother left when I came home from school one day on the doorstep, and my mother took off. And overnight, I went from public school to Catholic school, which was much more advanced than public schools.
Yeah.
So I went from a house I lived in, the next day I'm living with my Aunt Rose in another part of Maryland, and going into, you know, going into a Catholic school. But I think, you know, that kind of trauma when you're 6 years old, I don't know if you're manifesting it, yes, but, it, you know, in a turbulent upbringing when your brain is taking everything, I think it leaves you with a certain amount of PTSD. I really do.
So were you raised by your father or somebody
else?
No,
I was, well, when my mother left, I was raised by my aunt. And then the next year, I didn't live with my mother. I lived with my other aunt and my cousin in our house. Back in our house, And it was pretty tumultuous because I don't think the 6-year-old, 7-year-old brain can absorb, you know, where's my mother? How come you're not together? All this stuff like this, all the arguing and stuff like that. I think it's, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, I think it creates, because now you're going into survival mode.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? You're now, it's like, okay, I don't feel safe. I'm being shuffled from here. I got to figure out how I'm going to survive. So then you go into kind of a secular mode of survival, and then you kind of keep people at bay a little bit.
And how about you? Why do you live with your father?
Well, I didn't. I lived with my aunt.
I'm asking, why did you live with him?
Why didn't I?
You ran off to him?
No.
Why do you live with him?
The next year, I lived with my aunt for a year, and next year I went back to my house. And my father was living there, but my aunt and my cousin were kind of taking care of the house.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. And then, you know, later on, I went to live with my mother in Philadelphia, and my brother stayed with my father. And then it was just
a mess. Huh?
Yeah, a mess.
So have you forgiven your father and your mother?
You know what? I had to. Because you know what? We didn't have that kind of relationship, like that close relationship that some people have. But when my parents passed away, people think, oh, are you distraught and cry? I said, you know what? No, because I was the best son that they allowed me to be. So I went with a clear conscience. I was the best son that they would let me be, that they would let me in to do.
So when I asked that you forgive, you went to them and apologized for resenting them for what they've done to you?
No, I never apologized because I don't feel I ever did anything.
What they did to you.
Kind of the victim. You know, I did talk to my mother, I talked to my father, but it was kind of a detached relationship, you know what I mean? But when they passed, you know, I was never like mean to them. I wasn't like kids now. I never used foul language around stuff. I forgave them, you know, because who knows how they were raised?
Right, exactly.
You know, who knows how they were raised?
But maybe, you never did tell them, I'm sorry for resenting you for screwing up my life.
I don't think I ever said that because I never felt I did. I felt I was the one that got screwed over.
So, you were the one that screwed up. They screwed over you.
Yeah, screwed over
did
me.
Did you forgive them for that?
Yes.
Did you tell them?
No, I never really did. I think.
Why not?
I think my actions kind of said that.
But why didn't you tell them?
I don't know why. You know, when I think about it, I remember I was there when my father was dying, and it was a weird feeling because, you know, it's like when I leave this day, I'm never going to see them again. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, if you wear a ring and you just take it for granted, you have this ring on and you've had it for 40 years and you lose it, all of a sudden you go, oh my God, it's gone. Where is it?
Right.
You know, you just took it for granted, you had it. Yeah, I think I was a good son. I really do. I think I was a good son. I did the best I could.
Absolutely.
You know, with what tools I had and with whatever
but
was going on.
But it wasn't your fault for what they did to you.
No.
That's why I'm asking. They couldn't help themselves. They did the best they could for you because they were screwed up too. Their parents screwed them up.
And maybe their grandparents screwed them.
Right. And so that's why I'm asking, why do you forgive them for screwing up your life, knowing that they could not help themselves? Their lives have been screwed up.
I think when I got older, I was able to kind of put it all together. Because I think if you carry that kind of resentment, it doesn't do anybody.
It destroys you.
It destroys you. It eats you alive, you know? And just let it go.
And do you have anger?
I think I'm pretty chill. I think I have anger about certain things. I think, you know, I think because of I didn't do good in school. I was not a bad kid.
Nice.
I was like the funny guy in school.
It's good not to do good in school.
No, I was not. I was not what one.
That's
of these,
why you've done so well otherwise.
Yeah. In other words, I was not like the guy that was on student board or anything.
Right.
You know, and I think I kind of, you know, I wish I was. I wish I was the guy that brought home good grades because I was punished a lot for not having good grades.
Amazing.
By my stepfather because he was a World War II vet. He probably had PTSD and didn't know it. But the thing was, he probably, you know, nowadays, I think they would say, well, look what this poor kid's gone through.
Yeah.
No wonder he has learning disabilities, you know what I mean?
Amazing.
But they wouldn't do that back in the 50s.
Right.
You know, they didn't, people, like, it wasn't like guys didn't hug each other in the 50s.
Right. Did you forgive your stepfather for adding to your life?
Later on, we got along, okay? And I felt bad when he passed away. We became friends later on. And, I think the thing is, he was dealing with my mother. You never know what they're dealing with.
Because
you're a kid, you know, you don't even get mail yet. You know, you're living at home.
So why don't you drop your anger?
Yeah.
Just, you know, let it go, period, and never be angry again. Why don't you drop it?
I'm working on it. I think I'm not really angry at them. I'm just, you know, there's...
But you have anger, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Is it normal to have anger?
I think you can rationalize it, you know, but I don't think it does any good. But I think you can rationalize, well, I could have done better if my parents would have acknowledged me more as a kid. Maybe my life wouldn't have been so hard, and maybe my communication skills would have been better. But again, I think I was blessed. I had a good personality. I was funny. You know, I lived in some rough neighborhoods. I never had any problem because I treated others as I like to be treated.
Right.
I mean, I lived in Trenton, New Jersey. You know, when I was boxing in the amateurs, I was the only white guy in the gym. I got along with everybody great.
Nice.
Because I wasn't coming in trying to be, like, you know, the tough guy. And everyone, I got along with everyone great. Never had any problems.
Let me ask this. You believe that you can live a life with no anger, right?
Yeah,
if
I
possible.
Think so.
Do you want perfect peace?
Yes.
Then drop the anger.
You got to drop the anger.
You got to forgive your parents. They could not help themselves.
No.
Really, they did the best
they could.
It's true. Yeah, so let it go. And then do you create your own thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
You create your own thoughts.
I live in my head a lot. Oh, yeah.
So you do create your own thoughts.
Yes.
The good ones and the bad ones.
Yes.
And how do you do that?
I think I can be my own worst enemy sometimes out of... a frustration and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think I can create things. In other words, I think I could have handled things maybe in my career a little different.
Tell me how you create a thought. Number one, first two, three step of how you create a thought.
I think you manifest something in your head, maybe a wrong that was done to you. And you manifest it, and then this other thought comes in. Because our brain's going like this all the time, the tape loop. And then you can create a good thought, or you can create in other words, you can make a good thing and turn it and sabotage yourself.
And how do you create a thought? Tell me the steps.
Boy.
In creating thoughts.
That's an interesting, yeah. I never thought of it like steps. Let's see. I think you create a thought, okay, put it this way. When I write music,
that's a talent. I understand that part.
But it is a thought that's coming out of my brain and my soul on the paper. So I have to have a thought. I'm thinking about it. You just can't.
But tell me the steps of how you create good and bad thoughts. What steps do you take? You sit around and you're like, you know what? I feel like creating a bad thought right now. I want to feel bad.
Yeah,
I want to feel
like
the break. What are the steps that you take to build those thoughts? One, two, three?
Okay, so you look back in your life and you start, that's the foundation. And then the second foundation is then you seek out, well, why didn't they love me? Why did I do this? Now you get into the blaming start. And the third step is then you start getting resentment, and that creeps into your good thoughts, you know, the yin and yang of it. And I think what you do is you build on one thing, and then you blow it up, and then all of a sudden you kind of create your own dialogue in your head, and then this goes on steps. Now, the good thought, you're saying, you know what? Life's not bad. This is the foundation. Life is not bad. It could be worse when you see how other people are living. And then you investigate more about maybe how people are not living as well as you, which kind of then comes into you saying, you know, I'm really grateful and happy. And I think the third one is, like what you were saying, is forgiving, letting things go, and just kind of take care of yourself.
And when you say you look back where?
Well, I think you look back into your childhood, your upbringing.
And where then, is that?
That's from youth, and that's blaming.
I know, but where is it that you're looking back?
Well, I'm looking back at, you know, like I said, I had a tumultuous.
But where is it? Where is it that you're looking?
You're probably looking in within your own head.
You're looking where?
Within your own mind. The tape loops that go on in your brain, Jesse. You know, you're going like this. Well, I could have really done that maybe if I would have been a better athlete, maybe if my father played baseball with me. But he never did. He never paid attention to me. So then you build on that. Then it becomes resentment. And then you magnify it, then you start blaming everybody.
So if you create your own thought, why would you ever create a bad thought for you?
You're right. I don't know.
Create your own thought, why would you ever do that?
I think sometimes, you know, Jess, you can get into a comfort zone. You know, like they say, like, woe is me. People, like, stew in their own, like, negative juices. They're, like, they're just, like, they suck the energy out of the room because they're bad thoughts. And I think it starts from within. I think it can start in your subconscious.
But if you create your own thought, right?
Yeah.
You did tell me you create your own thought, right?
Yeah.
Why would you ever sit down and create a thought that will make you feel bad, make you feel afraid?
That's a $64,000 question. Why do we?
You know, no, why do you?
I don't know. I think it's part of... I think some of it's a protective kind of survival mode that if I'm angry and I'm this way and I'm thinking this way and I don't trust anybody, I'll be safe. But if you open yourself up too much, you're opening yourself up to get sabotaged again. So I think the mind works that way. I mean, because.
But if the mind is working that way, what is it? Why do you think you're doing it if the mind is doing it?
I think I'm festering off the thought. I think I'm feeding off the negative thought. You know, I mean, I'm very admirable to people. You know, I remember I suffered terribly from panic attacks in the 60s, and nobody knew what they were. No one addressed them. So you think you're crazy because you would never dare in the 50s and 60s say, well, I'm having these crazy thoughts and weird things like this because people would think you're nuts. Nowadays, they've got Xanax, and they talk right. about, and you find out how many people do suffer with anxiety and panic attacks.
Do you have a past or a future?
Do I have a path to the future?
Do you have a past?
Oh, yeah.
Where is it?
You know what? It's in the past.
Where?
Boy, way back.
Where?
You know, and probably in your thoughts and probably in your memories and probably in your subconscious.
And so if it's in your thought, do you have a past? Does a past exist?
Well, I don't know. It's like the past is the past. I mean,
but where is it?
I don't know.
It's so somewhere. Why do you think you have one then?
Because I have actually kind of a photographic memory. So unfortunately, I remember everything. I wish I remember all the good things, but I'm a work in progress, even though...
Do you have a future?
Yes.
Where is it?
My future is my visualization of what I want.
Where is the future?
The future is in my soul.
Where?
Somewhere in there.
Amazing. But,
yeah, somewhere in there.
So I got to ask, what's wrong with the blacks?
The blacks? I don't think there's anything wrong with the blacks. I think with anybody... It's just all this misinformation, like all this kind of.
I know, but what's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know.
You ever wonder that? You know, what's wrong with the blacks?
I wonder.
Do you ever wonder that about the blacks?
I wonder why why everyone's at everyone's throat and everything anyone says, it's just everyone goes on attack mode.
Sometimes do you ever wonder what's wrong with the blacks?
No.
So you never think about it. What's wrong with these blacks?
Well, I think sometimes what's wrong with these Italians wearing the gold chains and the leisure suits and stuff.
How about the blacks?
I think there are people out there that are manipulative. I know I read in your thing that you really had a kind of a meeting of the minds with Jesse Jackson. I think you felt he was an instigator. I think an instigator. I think Reverend Sharpton's an instigator.
Yes.
He's the guy that normally when people go, you know, like I said, when I grew up, I was around all kinds of people. And I never felt that like how we feel today, the separation and the anger. I never felt that.
Are you surprised that the blacks are so angry and violent and out of control?
Well, you know.
Are you surprised about that?
I don't know if I'm surprised by it. I mean,
why not?
Well, because there's some validity in it. I mean,
like
you
what?
Know, I don't know. I guess everyone has a beef. I mean, I can only tell you, when my father came over from Italy, the Italians were not like welcome or thought of so much, or were the Indians. So I think everyone has a beef.
Are you saying that the blacks have an excuse for being violent, blaming, angry, and out of control? They have a reason for that?
No, I don't think they're any more violent than anyone else. I mean, I've been
around.
You
don't think so?
It can be. But I think it's because of instigation. I think it's
But what's wrong with them that they will allow themselves to be instigated like that?
I don't know. Like when you were talking about angry thoughts, you know, you can get someone to get in your head.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at people like Colin Powell, who came from nothing. I don't see any statue of him, but I see a statue of George Floyd, who was a criminal.
I know, huh?
And I look, I go, well, here's a guy that grew up in Harlem, and he became a four-star general, the highest rank you can get, an honorable man or Colonel West. I said, that's what you should be looking at. Like, when I'm Italian,
right.
I said, don't look at these
gangsters. They put some fat black woman with
that statue?
Up in New York.
Is that what you want to represent your own? It's like, you know, I mean, I think...
What the?
I know. What the heck's going on? Where'd that come from?
I know.
No, but I'm just saying...
What's wrong with the blacks?
But I'm seeing on Instagram, a lot of blacks are really offended by that.
I
look like that.
Right.
You know, there's girls in my gym that are, like, physically fit. But, I mean, I look at Italians, like an Italian, I go, why every time you think of Italians... Do you think of gangsters? Why don't you think of Marconi or Da Vinci or Arturo Toscanini?
Whenever I see Italian, I think of the mob.
Exactly. So what do you think when you being black, what do you think about blacks? Like, what do you think about that?
I'm like, oh my God, let me get out of here.
Yeah.
Because they're so violent.
It's very violent. But I think there are provocateurs out there that make it like that. You know,
but
I mean,
you can't blame someone else for someone else acting crazy.
No, I know. I mean, I think, you know, maybe like when I grew up, I mean,
you know what? Let me tell you why they're so violent.
Why?
They hate their mothers.
Really?
Yeah. All black people hate their mothers. They're yearning for their fathers. And they have the spirit of their mothers. Have you noticed that you become just like your mother when you have anger? You become just like your mother. Mm-hmm. You think like your mother. You react like your mother.
You
become.
You think it's absentee father?
Yes.
Like
they have become just like their mothers and grandmothers.
Okay, so there's not like the
it has
the
nothing
together.
To do with but that.
Yeah.
They hate their mothers.
Yeah. And on my other end is my mother left.
Right.
And I was stuck with my father who
hated his mother.
Hated his. And my father was a kind of volatile, potentially violent individual.
And he didn't know how to handle your mother because he married the woman that he hated. Men marry women that they hate. They
hate
their mothers. Yeah, they hate their mothers, so they end up marrying women just like mama. And the man becomes the boy, she becomes the mama, and the cycle repeats itself. That's why you got to forgive your mothers for recreating her image.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing when you think about it. I mean, you know, as guys go... I said, why did you hit your kids like that? Well, my father did it to me. I said, yeah, but you didn't like it, so why are you carrying on that
tradition?
You
become like what you hate.
Yeah.
So listen, Italians, are they white?
I guess they're Mediterranean. I think white would be like Iceland or Swedish or like Norwegian. Yeah, I don't think, I mean, we're considered Caucasian, but I mean, if you look at Italy, you know, like Sardinia and Sicily, we're conquered by, you know, all kinds of people. I mean, I've been to Sicily and seen guys that are 100% Italian born in Sicily look like you.
Yeah.
And I've seen some with red hair and freckles and blue because they got conquered. Like I did a movie in Sardinia. I go, Jesus Christ, the hell is this? They're Italian, but they don't speak Italian. They almost speak Arabic because they got conquered by all these, because anything near the water, you know, like if you see a guy, the white guy's black Irish. That means like Colin Farrell, they got like olive skin, like his color, like black hair.
Right.
Because they got conquered by the Spanish.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Yeah, man, the conquistadors. And then, or it was either them or the Vikings. And so you got a...
What a mess.
Mishmash, yeah.
Do you love white people?
Some I don't like. I mean, there's a lot of Italians I don't like. I find they're embarrassing.
Do you love white people?
I think I like people. I think I try not to differentiate.
How about white people?
Yeah, I think I like white people. I mean, I better. Then I have more hate towards myself. Then I go, well, I don't like white people. Well, that means I don't like myself if I'm considered white.
That's right. Were women created to lead or to follow?
You know what? That's kind of an interesting loaded question. Lead or follow? I mean, some women have led and some have followed. Some men have led and some people are followers. I always believe there are leaders and followers. Like Trump is a leader.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
An alpha.
All the way. The great white hope.
He's the great white hope.
Yeah.
And I bet some people are the great white dope, too.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Like Joe Biden.
It's
yeah.
And so were women created to lead or to follow?
That's a hard question to ask because, you know, women, you know, have babies, procreate, you know, because obviously with the male, the two together. I don't know. I think there's exceptions, Jesse, in every rule. I mean, like Golda Meir, she led. I mean, you have some, like, you know, that's a very interesting, hard question to answer. I think... Boy, I just believe in everything. They're leader and followers. I think there's like, I'm not a fan of guys in women's sports. I think that's ludicrous. You know, because guys are just physically, we're just physically stronger in a lot of ways.
And so you're not sure if they were created to lead or to follow?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Really? Would you ever follow a woman?
Depending where I'm going. I'm depending. That would really depend on where I'm going.
Yeah. Other than going to the bedroom, would you ever follow a woman?
I mean, I've followed a few pretty women in my day.
Not to the bedroom.
No,
I mean,
no.
Would you ever follow a woman?
Like, as far as literature, music, things like, in other words, follow them for a specific reason?
Well,
not just to follow.
I'm sorry?
Not just to follow for no reason.
If a woman was in a leadership position, would you ever follow her?
Well, I'm not really a following type guy. I think I would. I could maybe work with them.
You ever follow them?
No, I don't think I follow anybody.
I'm sorry? How about a woman?
I don't think I follow a woman or a guy.
How about a woman?
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you noticed that every time a man listens to the woman, he suffers?
Boy, that's an interesting way to put it. You know, I'm sure it has happened. I mean, there's a lot of people divorced in this town. And I think that comes from... you look at these people and go, why are they together?
Yeah.
You know, I've gone out to dinner. I've said, here's the place, an expensive restaurant, this guy, and haven't spoken like one word.
Yeah.
Why are you there? What enjoyment you're sitting there like this? Like for an hour and a half. And I've sat there and I go, I've not heard one exchange of thought, not one thing of laughter, just like this thing. I go, that to me is like, to me, is psychotic. There's something wrong there. Why would you even be around someone like that?
And so you have noticed, or have you noticed that every time the man listens to the woman, he suffers?
I don't know if I could say that. I mean, I've listened to women.
But look what happened every time you listened.
Well, I didn't suffer.
Yes, you did.
I mean, how would I suffer?
It went wrong every time.
I don't know. I'd have to look into that one. I ain't going to say that on TV.
What?
No, I'd have to look into it on TV? No, I'd have to look into that. That's kind of a loaded question. I'd have to think
loaded
about.
Loaded what way?
Well, I mean, I've met in my life some tremendous, wonderful women.
But you never listened to them.
No, I've listened to them.
Every time you did, though, you suffer.
No.
You'd be like, Lord, I wish I had not listened to this
Jesse,
one.
I mean, I've had both. I've had it with guys, too, that I thought were really cool.
But especially women. Every time.
Well, I don't know about that. I've had some guys rip me off for some serious jack, man.
Yeah.
That I should never listen to. You know, that's why I stopped trying to get into business. And my stepfather, who was actually a good business guy, goes, Frank, stay in your lane. I tried to open a restaurant. He goes, you're not a restaurateur.
Right on.
And I took a beating. Ooh, man. He says, you're a singer, a songer. You're a song and dance man. Stay with what you do.
Absolutely. Nice advice.
Yeah, don't get into something you know nothing about.
So let me ask, because of time, I've noticed that women who are educated do not make for good wives and mothers. And so I encourage men by doing what they want, but I tell them, if you're going to get married, do not marry an educated woman because she will not make for a good wife or a mother. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, no.
You don't think they do make good wives?
Well, I've met some women that are really, believe me, I'm not a liberal at all.
I know.
No,
I know. I read about you. You're not a liberal.
No, I'm not a liberal at all.
And so,
but I've met some women that are highly intelligent and are really, you know, a lot of them that are engaging and smart. But, you know, I don't know if I would get married anyway. You know, I don't care if.
My point is that a man, if you want to start a family, he should not marry an educated woman because she would never mate for a good wife.
Why is that?
A mother, because she thinks she's equal to the man.
Mm-hmm.
And she want to be like the man, and she want to go to work, and she doesn't want to stay home and raise his children, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't obey her husband.
Would you say the woman should be more subservient than the man?
Right.
Okay.
Because she was made to be that way. Am I right?
I don't know about that one. I mean,
Would you ever marry an educated woman?
Oh, yeah.
You would?
Yeah, because I couldn't stand to be around a stupid person.
No, that doesn't mean she's stupid just because she's not educated.
No, I couldn't be around something like that. I got too much mojo for that. I'd be sitting there. Then I'd be sitting at dinner like this, like a blank. No, see,
But do you agree that women, educated women, do not mate for good wives and mothers?
I don't know if I can say that. I know some educated women that are really great wives that I know of. I mean, I'm sure there's millions.
I guarantee you they're not. I guarantee you that.
Well, I don't want to find
that
out.
That man catching hell.
Nah, I don't know. Like, for me, I'm a wordsmith. I have to have dialogue and interest and intellect and stuff. See, I have to have it.
Because you're a man, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, from guys I hang out with and girls, I need that back and forth just for my head because I have so many wheels going on all the time. I just can't sit there and go, so what'd you do today?
That's right.
Well, I went to the gas station. I said, man, don't bore me with that shit. I don't want to hear about gas station. Well, I had my toes done. I said, that is no, I like getting like people news. Did you hear what happened today? Did you watch what was going on in the country with the thing? See, I'm like a.
All right, but that type of woman would not make for a good wife and a mother to your children. But let me ask, I love the Great White Hope. I voted for the Great White Hope, and I know you did,
too. Yes, I did.
Donald Trump. The only one thing I disagree with him.
What?
He got too many women in leadership roles. And I'm kind of okay with it.
Since Pam Bondi, though. She's tough.
Since they're under his leadership. But I don't want him to go off somewhere, like stop being president. And then these women then have to lead us because they'll lead us right to hell.
One thing I do like Pam Bondi. She's tough. I like the
But Pam Bondi is so miserable inside. You can tell she's not happy.
But she gets the job done.
Right, but
you know what they said about
all that anger.
Remember like when the Eagles got the Grammy, and they said, well, they say our manager, Irving, is the devil. Yeah, but he's our devil. You know what I mean? Because he got the job done. I mean, I think he's got a pretty good cabinet.
Myself. He does. No, I agree, but I just don't like the fact he's putting all these women over men. Even with Pam Bunton, it doesn't look right. It looks like the man is beta because they are under this female, and she is acting out.
What but she's doing, pretty effective, though.
I know, but she's acting out.
Yeah, I don't know the mechanics.
Well, how would you like to live with that one?
Well, she's not actually my type, but to begin with. But, I mean, she's very smart. See, Jesse's trying to trap me into something.
No.
You ain't going to kill me. No, I mean, I think it's a great cabinet. I think it's pretty well balanced. But he is a special guy. He's got what they call in Hollywood the it factor.
Yes.
He's got it.
Yeah.
People, he's just got it. I mean, when you think about it, at 34 years old, I'm going to build a skyscraper in the most exclusive part of Manhattan and make it gold and put my name up top. You go, man, what are you, crazy? But he did it.
Yeah. What manner of man is this? The wind and the sea obeys him. The world obeys Trump.
And you see it.
Yeah.
And you see it like China, all these saber rattling. Now they're going, okay, can I be part of the team?
Yeah.
And he's going to get it done.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, what I don't understand, Jesse, is like with those, there's $4 trillion unaccountable for. Yeah. What are you unhappy about?
Right.
If that money is brought back in, your life will be easier. You know, we always take down the education board. Yeah, because they're just sitting there doing nothing, making six figures.
What a mess.
Like the girl out here that was head of DWP getting $700,000 a year, and the reservoir's empty in the Palisades. So I think what they're trying to do is get rid of ineptness and to trim it down. I think it's just too big. And I think you have to let the police do their job. You got to let the firemen do their job. You got to let Tom Homan do his job.
And he's doing it, too.
He's doing it because, you know, I said, you know what
These people don't like good. They don't want America to function.
No.
They want people dependent on them. So they don't like what Trump is doing. Trump is making America great again by making people as independent as they can possibly be. Less government.
Yeah.
Less relying on this. Working for yourself. Having your own home. Lower taxes. They don't want that to happen because they want the people to need them.
Well, you know, it's almost like I have a lot of Latino friends. I have Asian friends, black friends. And everyone thinks because the Mexican community, they don't want these guys in here.
That's right.
They have families. They don't want a bunch of murderers. Like, if you get a black neighbor, they don't want the Crips and Bloods there.
That's right.
Or stuff like that. Or the Italians. They don't want, like, the mob family in their neighborhood because, you know, they're afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everyone just, I you know, as I'm getting older, I think basically people are good and decent or they want to be, but there is evil always. Yeah. There is innate evil.
Do you believe that all human beings are evil? Is there any good in human nature?
I think we're genetically good. But do I think there is there evil that's, or anger or a crime that's developed, or are there some people that are born innately evil? Yes.
Do you think there's any good in human beings?
Yes, I do.
Like what? Give me one thing that's good about human beings.
Well, God, man, that's tough, Jesse. I've been around so many good human beings, and I've tried to extract myself from the bad ones. So that's hard for me to say. I would say, yes, I think by nature.
Give me one thing that's good about human beings. One thing only.
Boy, he's killing me here. Let's see. One thing only about human beings. Boy, I there's a lot of good things.
But why can't you name one?
One.
If there are a lot.
I think doing the right thing, kindness.
Tell me one thing that's good about human beings. Kind of what? Kindness is not good.
It's bad?
Yeah, the kind person turn on you and cut your throat in a minute.
But then think what about would the bad person do?
Think about all the kind people you have met and how they turned on you, what they did to you. Tell me real fast one good thing about human beings.
I guess human beings. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's such a broad palette. I mean, I think there's good and bad in everything. I mean, I know, but
you're not able to tell me one good thing about human beings.
I can't. It's a hard thing. One good thing, I mean, family.
No, look how messed up families are. They don't work. One good thing about human beings.
Well, you tell me one good thing.
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing good about human nature.
So what's good?
God.
Guidance?
God. That's the only thing that's good.
Well, God,
and that's why
good.
human nature has to be born again spiritually. They got to overcome the anger and return to the Father, and then their nature will change.
I agree. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are trying to turn to faith.
But you can't try to do it. You got to do it.
You just got to do it.
You got to do it.
I mean, I have to, you know, when I go to church sometimes, I just feel better.
Right,
because I'm giving it up.
I know, but by the time the night time comes, you cry at night.
Nah. I only cry when I miss a trap. That's why I cry.
Do you have friends?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, most of my best friends are dead.
Right.
I have friends and I have acquaintances. I would say, realistically, you could count on one maybe.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's friends.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, I have a few friends that are not doing well, and that's like when you're talking about loneliness, that's what bothered me. I said, God, my whole core group, it's gone. You know, when I look at my mother at 99, everyone's dead.
They all dead. What the?
What the?
They dead.
They're all gone. And then what do you have to do? Along the way, see, I like being around a lot of younger people that are smart. Along the way, you have to cultivate new friends because they're going to come to a day, they're all gone. So all you're going to have are these ones younger than you. Because if you're counting on your friends to like hit 95.
One quick question, and I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
Would you ever tell a woman your problems?
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
You would tell the woman your problem?
I had a...
Why?
I had a female psychologist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, man.
But women hate when men tell them their problem. They judge them.
Nah, sometimes they fall in love with you. That's what you got to watch. Because that mother nature comes out in the nurturing thing. And now you go, boy, now I really got a problem. But I look at things. I used to raise, we had a lot of horses. Horses like women better than guys. For some reason, I think it's that maternal nurturing.
Yeah, they mother the horse.
Yeah, they hate
us. They treat
you
like a baby.
They look at us coming, their ears go back like a girl's.
But you should never tell the woman your problem. Women hate men to tell them.
Who would I tell? God?
Either to a wise man that you need to talk to, or God only. Never tell a woman.
I would tell God. I don't know too many wise men. Unfortunately, right. In this town.
I know.
What I know, the unwise.
I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
If I can.
All right.
Go ahead.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
I think a man is the protector.
Should women play in men's sport?
No.
When I become president, I want to ban all computers. Would you vote for me?
Yes.
Do we need more white babies?
I don't know.
This coming July is our 8th year of celebrating White History Month. Will you celebrate with us this month?
I don't know. I never heard of White History Month.
every year, for seven years, we celebrated White History Month.
That's the first time I ever heard of it.
Really? Well, I'm trying to get the president to declare it a national White History
Month. That'd be nice. How about, like, American Month?
We already had that. We need White History Month.
Really?
Do you agree with me that we need White History Month?
I think we need... I think all kinds of History Month. No, I don't know if I could just.
But we have everything. We have Black history, woman history, gay history, Mexican history, Chinese history.
I don't think they have a month though.
Every They do have a month.
I think that you just get a day. Next.
Don't have a month.
All right, what's the next one? I'm stumped on that one. Go ahead.
What is love?
What is love? Boy, you asked the wrong guy. What is love? I mean, I think it's a perception of what you think it is. I think people have just different, you know. Sometimes I don't know. People go, have you ever been in love? And I go, I don't know. Am I in love? Is it passion? Is it like possession? Is that love? And, you know, because, you know, you see these guys, they're like with their girlfriends. They're like this, like, you know, walking. Is that love or is that possession? The girl thinks, oh, well, he loves me. No, he kind of possesses you. I don't know if he loves you.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes. I've felt a ghost, yes.
Which is better? I mean, who is a better boxer? Your brother? You or your brother?
Well, I boxed competitively. He didn't, but he's very tough. I mean, we've boxed in the ring, and it's not pretty. No, it's not good. Yeah,
it's the earth
like sucker cheap shots. I mean, yeah,
it's
like
is the earth flat or round?
It's round.
Do you love your misery?
Well, misery loves company, right? So, I mean, I guess sometimes I do.
You love your misery?
I don't love it, but sometimes it's like sometimes it happens. You just roll with it.
And so, do you love your misery?
No, not really.
Why don't you drop it?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
They're both pretty, I think they're both pretty bad.
So which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Boy, Jesse, I mean, abortion is killing. Slavery is encumbering. I mean, it's kind of both like a death. I don't know. I mean, they're kind of equally bad. I can't really answer that.
Should we give the blacks reparations?
Well, that's a weird, I can't answer that one word because I think if that happens, then it's the Indians and then the everyone gets reparations and we'll have no money left.
Does a chicken have lips?
No, chicken has a beak.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
Well, I've been down that road. Yeah, it's possible. Yes, women speak with forked tongue. Yeah, I've had them crying, and on the side they're going, "Boy, I got this guy hooked." Yeah, yeah.
Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
If they're fat.
True or false? Sending your kids to a public school is child abuse.
It's become that. Yes.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you for taking on the hot seat.
Thank you, Jesse. Boy, you asked me some loaded questions, boy. I don't think I do good in Congress. It's a yes or no question. Well, let me show you this about that. Yeah. That's why Dick Nixon. Let me show you this about that. No, but it was great, Jesse. Thank you for
having
me.
Tell the folks how to get your website or buy your books or get your music or whatever you want to promote.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk to that camera.
Hi, I'm Frank Stallone, and Jesse put me through the mill, boy. A lot of questions. But I'd love you to see my documentary on Amazon called Stallone Frank That Is. And you can follow me on Instagram at frank.stallone. And keep up. We'll let you know what's going on as far as concerts and movies and things like that. And I think everyone should show gratitude and praise and be happy for what you have and what you're going to have in life.
Amazing. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell, comment, and do all that stuff. Become a member. Help us by becoming a member of the FatherState.tv right there on YouTube or go to locals.com. All right? And check out the coffee. Amazing coffee, JesseLeePeterson.shop. All right, and I do appreciate it. If you'd like to see some more amazing guests on this show, contact my producer, the Father State producer at thefatherstate.tv. I do appreciate it, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you, man. That was amazing.
Jeffrey, have you ever had people get, like, upset because you're, like, pressing them on a question and they get all flustered and stuff?
Yeah.